Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. David Innes, pastor of Hamilton Square Baptist Church in San Francisco, California. Today he'll bring the second message in a four-part series on biblical fundamentalism. The title of today's message is, God is Worthy of Our Trust. The text is from Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7.
It is an absolute joy and delight to be here with you. God is using this university in a very, very wonderful way. This university occupies a very critical place in the religious world today. I wonder sometimes if the faculty and staff that serve so capably here and with such great dedication really understands the important role that this university plays. And I'm talking about and setting the pace for the work of God around the world. This is a day in which we need Christian leaders, not followers, but leaders. Men and women who know God, who know what God is doing, where God is going, and do what He does, and go where He goes, and set the pace instead of following all the trends that are going on and making their way through the churches in the country and around the world. We need leaders, men and women who know God, know what it's all about, and they have direction set, and they will not move from that because God does not move from His own purposes. We need to have these things settled in our hearts and minds. Just want to visit with you today. Is that okay? Is that all right with you? And I usually tell a story when I'm here, and I want to tell you a story today. I have a brother that lives in El Paso, Texas. And he told me about this fellow that was pulled over. You know, the policeman pulls up behind you. Have you had that experience? It's kind of a heart-stopping experience. The little things, lights are going, you know. And so the policeman pull him on over to the side of the road and walked up to the window, and he rolled his window down, and he said, "Officer," he said, "did I do something wrong?" And the officer said, "No, you didn't do anything wrong." He said, "I've been following you for at least 4 miles. He said, when you come to a stop sign, you stop completely. When you turn, you make a signal. And he said, you've been obeying all the traffic laws perfectly, and you've been courteous to other drivers, and I have pulled you over to give you the Good Driver's Award." He smiled, that is, the driver did, and he said, "Does that mean I get my driver's license back?" The fellow in the seat next to him said, "Now, officer, don't pay any attention to him. He always talks silly like this when he's been drinking too much." The fellow in the back seat said, "I told you two guys we'd never get away with this stolen car." From back in the trunk, there's a boom, boom, boom. "Are we across the border yet?" Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Verses that I think many of you have memorized. If you have not, you should. Look at verses 5, 6, and 7. Trust. Some of you have been traumatized in your relationships, and you find trust very difficult. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Secondly, look at it, please, carefully. Fix it in your minds and in your hearts. Lean not unto your own understanding, unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now look at verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm talking to you about fundamentalism, about separation. The first axiom that we talked about, and we only talked about two yesterday out of the 19, the Bible is the Word of God. Now, there are things in the Bible that are very difficult to understand. As I read through the Word of God, I have arguments with God sometimes. And I say, God, how can that be? Is that really what you want done? This is so contrary to the way I think, to the way I feel. The very core root of fundamentalism is the integrity of God and the integrity of the Word of God. You cannot trust in a God who does not have integrity, and you cannot trust a God that is questionable in his integrity in your mind. There are probably four controlling attributes of God. God's a wonderful God, an awesome God. There are attributes that I think control all the other attributes and sit on top of all the attributes and out of which all the other attributes of God flow. First of all, God is uncreated. Everything else in this universe is created. Every other being is a creature. God alone is uncreated. He's the creator. He's the one from whom all of us derive our existence. And if that's true, we ought to be able to trust him completely. Secondly, God is infinite. God is measureless. God's infinite in his knowledge. That's wisdom. God's infinite in space. He's present everywhere. God's infinite. Thirdly, God is triune. He is three persons, one God. And fourth, God is holy. God has integrity. This God, whom I've learned and read about now for over 50 years, is worthy of my absolute trust and confidence. When we look at the verses today about separation, and we'll just take a sampling today, we look at these things and we say, look, that's not the way the religious world does it. That's not the way I've been taught, or that's not the way that people think. I realize it's not. And only if you have confidence that the Bible is the Word of God, and only if you have confidence in the integrity of God, will you find the ability to obey His Word joyfully. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, may I suggest that if you are wrestling with this, wrestle with it until you come to a conclusion. God gave us a brain. Little fella wrote his paper on the human anatomy. Third grader. He said the human body is composed of three parts. The brainium, the borax, and the abominable cavity. Now, God has given us a brain for a purpose. Somebody said before you put mouth in motion, put brain in gear. That's a good suggestion. God gives us a mind. I think one of the real problems we have in the religious world is people have not resolved whether or not this is really God speaking. I had a delightful conversation with one of the staff or faculty here a couple of days ago. You see, when you take these verses on separation, and I've given you a chart there, and I hope you have it with you, you must remember that as these verses were written by the apostles, they were written by inspiration. God Himself will have nothing to do with certain things. God won't touch uncleanness. God will have nothing to do with wrong doctrine. God will have nothing to do with false gospels. And if God will have nothing to do with them, then you and I, if we're going to have integrity in our life and ministry, listen to me, preacher students, you cannot compromise God's Word without losing your integrity. You can't disagree with God about what is right and what is wrong and how things should be done and have integrity in your ministry. It's that simple. We take this blessed book. When it speaks, it's not the Apostle Paul speaking, it's God speaking. It's not the Apostle Peter, it's not James, it's not John, it's God speaking to us. And it's so important that we take the time and that make the diligent effort to know exactly what it says, accurately dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because one cannot handle lightly divine eternal truth and serve God properly. It's a great book. And you see, if you have confidence in the integrity of God and you have confidence in the integrity of this book, then that settles so many of these issues for you. I want to talk very plainly, if I might. This is not Bob Jones University versus another Bible college. This is not the philosophy of Bob Jones versus the philosophy of the New Evangelicals. This is not BJU versus anything. The whole question comes down not to what do the fundamentalists say, what do the liberals say, and then we weigh it out and we run it through the philosophical grinder of our brains and come out with some kind of hash. We decide we're going to be position ourselves here or there because so-and-so says such and such, so-and-so says such and such, so-and-so said, does such and such, and so-and-so, he's a fundamentalist, he's discredited all of us. That's not the issue. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. The only thing that matters is what God does and what God thinks. That's all that matters. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It doesn't matter what Bob Jones thinks. It does matter what God says. And if Bob Jones teaches you what God says, you better listen. Is this God's Word? That is the question. I'll never forget, and I'm going elsewhere than I intended to, but maybe this will be helpful to you. I will never forget having lunch one day at a Christian businessmen's meeting. I was invited as a guest, and I went, and I will never forget sitting next to the son of a Bible-believing pastor. This gentleman was talking to me about joining the Ministerial Association. And I said, well, what about the Catholic priest? He's on it, isn't he? Yeah, the Catholic priest is a member, sure. I said, well, what about this liberal Methodist minister who denies the deity of Jesus and denies the bodily resurrection of Christ and denies the integrity of Scripture? What about that guy? He's on there too, isn't he? Oh, yeah, well, he's on there. I said, my dear friend, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. And he exploded. He said, I'm so sick and tired of that verse. Woo! But I know preachers that feel that way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. It will get you in trouble. Your mind needs to be in gear. A spiritual Christian is a thinking Christian, but your mind can be a disaster to you. If you make your mind the final source of judgment and truth by which you're going to live, you're in trouble. If you exalt your mind above the Word of God. And that's one of the dangers of graduate school training. And I believe in it with all my heart. Your mind. I've given you a list of scriptures on separation. Don't take them lightly. The language is very powerful. The language is very strong. We are to separate. I've got two more days so we can look at some of this tomorrow. But before we get there, I am now 62 years old. I was graduated from this institution in 1957, in 1961, twice. I took the four-year course in 7 years. Professors were long-suffering with me. But I was in this school in the days when Billy Graham was just beginning the ecumenical evangelism. That was just beginning. There was no such thing like that. No phenomenon had appeared on the Christian scene such as that. It was brand new. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr. took a stand against it, and everybody thought he was crazy. He was called a jealous old man. Now, if you know anything about what's going on in the religious world today, you know this ecumenicism has just swallowed up most of all of the Bible-believing world. But I want to remind you that none of this is ever in place and staying in one place. It's always moving somewhere. If you ignore these verses on separation, you're going to end up somewhere where you don't dream it's possible for you to end up. At the risk of boring you, I'm going to read about 6 or 7 paragraphs here. And I beg of you, follow as closely as you can. I'm going to quote from an article in World Magazine. Listen carefully. 1,500 worshipers fill a former warehouse, now turned into a sanctuary. At the beginning of the service or before the service, the congregation sings praise songs, old-time gospel hymns, led by a marvelous 160-voice choir. Exciting, isn't it? The service is informal and lively. People hug each other. The minister prances on the stage, preaching at full throttle, dynamic and mesmerizing. In the pews are celebrities, people with testimonies, many having been helped, listen, by the 31 ministries this full-service church operates. Prison outreach, 12-step programs, support groups for troubled people, help for the needy. Marvelous, isn't it? And we'll see. The name, Agape International Spiritual Center in suburban Los Angeles. 7,000 members. Wow. It is a growing church, very much like the hundreds of megachurches throughout the country. But intermixed with the Christian praise songs are the ohms of Eastern meditation. In the obligatory bookstore, the Bible shares space with books by gurus, self-proclaimed goddesses, and mystical pop psychologists. Agape calls itself a church, but it makes no pretension of being Christian at all. Rather, as its pastor Michael Beckwith explains, it is, quote, new thought, end of quote, combined with ancient wisdom. We don't believe you're born into sin, explains a representative of the church. We're born into blessings. While some seek salvation, we call it self-evaluation. Agape calls itself trans-denominational, but it is really trans-religion. Muslims, Jews, Christians, Buddhists, young, old, rich, poor, we cut across all lines to reach what is true, says the Reverend Beckwith. I don't know how you evaluate the stand of this university as a student here. I don't know what you think about it. It may not all make sense to you. But I want to point out to you that the issues are much larger than they appear to be. Let me find the light here. Can you see that light right up there? Am I pointing? Can you see it up there? Supposing that's the moon, which is, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of miles away. And supposing now I want to go to the moon up there. Now, supposing, instead of aiming there, I'm aiming there. Will I hit the moon? No, obviously not. In fact, by the time you get way out in space, several hundred thousand miles, you will be a long way from the moon. Correct? But now, supposing that's the moon up there, and I'm just 1/8 of an inch off. I mean, I'm really close. How far will I be away from the moon when I get up near its trajectory, its orbit? I will be way, way, way off. You may wonder why men from this pulpit fuss about what seems to be just a little thing. I simply want you to understand that what today is a little thing, 20 years from now will be an enormous thing. You may be 1/8 of an inch off here, but by the time you get out there, you've missed it by hundreds of miles. Sometimes little things make an enormous difference. This business of separation is missing in almost every Bible doctrines book and theological book that's been published. I have on my shelves in my library probably, I think, about 8 major theological works. Some are 1-volume works. Some are 3- and 4-volume works. I have those that were written many years ago. I have those that are written recently. Not a one of them talks about this matter of separation. That creates an enormous problem because students, faculty, preachers, Christian leaders all assume that if it's not in the theological books, it is not important. A dear friend of mine, home with the Lord for many years now, Dr. G. Archer Winnegar, went through the Old and the New Testament to locate the verses that would form the basis of a theology of separation, beginning with Genesis 1:1 and going through the end of Revelation. He had a list in fine print that covered over two pages of list of verses. You see, it's in this book, although it's not in other books. You remember I said yesterday that it would be wonderful if it were possible, though it is not possible for practical reasons. If everyone, every preacher especially, had to read through the Bible at least 25 times before he picked up any other books. If you had read through the Bible 25 times and then you picked up these theology books, you would say something is missing. It's in here, but it's not in there. Why isn't it in there? It belongs in there. It's in here, but it's not in the books. Men and women, make this book your point of reference. Because without this point of reference, we will lose our way. And ultimately, we will lose our faith. This is the measure of your belief. This is the measure of your practice. This is the measure of your books. This is the measure of your methods. This is the measure of everything. It is what God says, what God feels, what God thinks. It's the Word of God. Let's stand together for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious men and women who have come to learn of your Word and to know you. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Oh God, put the awe and the wonder of your greatness in our hearts. Fill our minds with the truth that's taught by the Holy Spirit of God. Give us a genuine love and reverence for the Word of God, which will resolve so many issues in our hearts and in our minds. Bless those that struggle today with whether or not the Bible really is the Word of God. And there are many here that do that. Spirit of God, show them the truth. Make this a day that's lived for the glory of God. And prepare our lives, O God, to be lived in full agreement with You and Your Word. And prepare us, Lord, for a wonderful life partnership in life and ministry with Jesus Christ. Thank You for that honor and thank You for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today was Dr. David Innes, pastor of Hamilton Square Baptist Church in San Francisco, California. For two cassette tapes containing the entire four-part series on biblical fundamentalism, send a check for $10.26 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.